All right, y'all. What Will said. That's pretty good there, Will. I appreciate your devotion there, Will. It was great. Sometimes y'all get these devotions up here, and I'm just like, amen, let's go. Right? So praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, y'all. Just be prepared because I'm going to read the first 10 verses here in just a second. I was asking questions to your questions earlier because they kind of go with what we're going to study this morning. And, you know, when we sing our songs like we do, they're not just songs. You guys know that. The words that are there have a lot of meaning, hopefully. And if they're good hymns or good worship songs, they're directly tied to the scriptures in some way, to the truth of the Word of God, which should affect your spiritual health, should affect you as a believer, as a person of faith, and totally as a body of Christ. We should come together and continue to encourage one another and get excited with one another, right? And, you know, I know there's times when it's just kind of hard. You know, things aren't great, and there's a little bit of a, maybe even a spiritual depression in your life from time to time. Maybe as a whole, the church goes through some things from time to time. Every congregation does. But nothing changes what Will just talked about. Nothing changes the fact that our Savior is Jesus. We have a great Savior. We have the perfect Savior. God has sent Jesus to do everything there is to do, to be reconciled to Him so that we can escape the consequences of our sins and be with Him for eternity. And in the meantime, we can enjoy His presence in our life, good, bad, and everywhere in between. Mountaintops and valleys, crossroads, and everywhere else. I don't know if you get excited about that, but I do. And there's times when even we're singing hymns like we were singing. What a day that will be. That's a simple hymn. It's an old time. I know it's an old timey hymn, but I've heard that song when I was a kid, and I've learned it since I've become a Christian. And when you put that song together with the Word of God, I don't know how you don't get emotional, you know, especially if you've been around the block a few times, you know, because you don't go around the block without tripping over some curbs or some cracks in a sidewalk and being slowed down or interfered with. You just don't go around the block in life without experiencing life. And it ain't all great, but God has been faithful the whole time, hasn't He? He's never failed us yet. And He's not going to fail us. So while we're still here on the planet serving the Lord, we should be excited about what happens next. I'm excited to go and see my Savior one day. Sometimes I lay down at night and I'm just like, I wonder if this is going to be it. I wonder if I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm not worried about it. I just think about it. It's like, maybe this is going to be the last one. Maybe this is my last day. Because Jesus might come back. Or I may not get up for whatever reason. And no, I ain't sick. Well, I'm sick, but I ain't dying that I know of. But you know how it is, y'all. Everybody has this one thing. Everybody gets some of it. It's called time. And the reality is we're not guaranteed a certain amount of it. Some get more than others. Some only get a moment when they come into the world and then they're gone. Some folks stay around here for hundreds of years back if we read in the Old Testament. Can you imagine? I really can't even imagine being 85 to 90 years old, to be honest with you. That's just me. I don't see it happening because I know that I'm bound to do something crazy. You know? I can't imagine waiting like some of these guys in the Old Testament, several hundred years to be with the Lord. That don't sound good to me. I don't want to wait that long. But at the same time, If I believe what I believe, and Jesus tarries, and time keeps coming in my way, because of Jesus and this gospel message, I can't wait to tell somebody else. A few weeks ago, we sang a hymn that was called that's called "I Love to Tell the Story." And every time we sing hymns, I wonder how many people actually hear the words that we're singing and actually believe the words that we're singing. And I don't mean y'all; I mean just people in general. Because a lot of people like the hymns because they sound good and it's what they grew up with, so it's familiar to them. People like what they're familiar with. We don't like change. We don't like new stuff because we don't know it. And it makes us uncomfortable. But let me tell y'all something. If you believe, if you are a believer, if you're a person of faith and you've put your faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you can have hope, a promise that when we leave this world, you will be in the presence of God for eternity. And as they say way back up in these hills, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Am I right? That's true. How is it that we walk around this planet every day and the feeling of excitement for eternity isn't always there in some way? Maybe it is for y'all. Maybe it's just me. Maybe there's days when I come home and I'm just like, yeah, I didn't cut it today. You know, maybe it's just I'm finally home and I'm finally done with my whatever day. And I have an attitude that was not helping things. And somehow, some way, the Lord puts it in my heart that, you know what? You get to go to heaven after this is all over, so what's your problem? I think the Lord talks to me that way because I need it that way sometimes. Usually it's because of some truth in this word that comes alive while I'm cooking supper or while I'm sitting there having a pity party, if that ever happens. It's like, what? You can't put up with a little bit of stress and then be with the Lord? It can't be that way for you? Let's think about those things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here. It's not going to be on the slides yet. I just want to read the first 10 verses because that sets us up for what we're studying. He goes into chapter 5 and he said, and he's just trying to get the Corinthians to understand that yes, his gospel is true and that they need to stay firm in what they first believed, and he's trying to help them have resources to defend against the naysayers or the false teachers that are trying to pull them away from this truth. He says, verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, verse 4, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage. I say, and prefer rather, to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Paul's one of them guys that picks all the... He's got this elaborate way of saying, "I can't wait to be with the Lord." Right? And if I live in the flesh, if I focus on living in the flesh, then I'm away from him. But if I focus on living in the Spirit, then I'm with him. And as long as I have to be in this world, I'll have hope in being with him one day. but I have the Spirit until then. So praise the Lord. That's what he just said in those 10 verses. That's how we, the Christians, the believers, the people of faith, those who are genuinely committed to Christ, this is how we should live. This is how our mindset is because of what we believe, because of the hope that we have. I'm excited that one day I'm going to be with my Lord. And there's some days there are more than others. Some days I'm just like, Lord, it's any time to be convenient, you know. And then there's other days it's like, okay, I want to do some more work. Y'all know the struggle that's in your heart and in your mind. There's people that you love that aren't saved. And you just want one more day to maybe make an impact. Maybe they'll see the Lord. As long as we have breath, as long as we have time, as long as the Lord gives us time on this planet, we should be about His business because we know that everyone dies physically. Everybody, every person that's ever been born has died physically. Only those who believe and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, only those who repent of their sinful ways and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, only those who are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, only those who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit are the ones who will live again for eternity. How can we not be excited, y'all? How can we not be excited? It's not just that we're spared from hell. It's not that at all. Right? Because as bad as this world could get, it's still better than hell. Because hell is the absence of God for eternity. So thank the Lord, I can be overjoyed about escaping that situation that I created. But it's better than that. It's not just that I almost died and I didn't die, but no, I get to live, but I also get to live with the Lord in His presence for eternity. And it's not just because He wants me to or because I want to, it's because He loves me. That to me is the greatest thing. It's all because God loves me. It's all because God loves you. Don't that get you excited? I don't remember which one of us, me and my wife, which one of us said, I love you first. But we've been saying it for a long time now. Not as long as others, but for us it's been a long time. But I know that the first time saying it comes with a lot of uncertainty, doesn't it? The first time saying that to somebody, it's like, well, I don't know how this is going to go. But once you say it, once the guys say it to the ladies and their eyes get all twinkly, then you know it's a good thing. And if the lady says it to the guy, then the guy's like, yeah, this is a done deal now. And we're glad about it because it's what we wanted. If we can't get excited about the fact that God said He loves us first, there's something wrong, y'all. If we can't be excited every day because God loves us, there's something, we're missing something. There's something out of place. Why do you do what you do as a believer? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you live the life that you live? What sets the rules for your Christian life? What compels you as a believer to be a believer? What compels you to live the way Jesus wants us to live, the way He showed us how to live, the way Paul and Peter and John and all the rest continue to try to show us how to live through the Word of God? What compels us to do it? Look at verse 11 to 15. Check it out. You're going to have to open up your Bibles. There's too much scripture to put on the screen, y'all. Verse 11 says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we pursue men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. Right? We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. See, they were ditching Paul's teaching because Paul was just an ordinary fella. He wasn't particularly good looking at all, really. He was just a normal guy. And all these other false teachers, they had money, they had prestige, they had status, and they talked real nice with big words. And everybody's like, well, I'm going to go follow them because that must be the way to go. And Paul's just like, look, I'm not going to put on a show for you. I am who I am, and this is what's true. So either believe the truth and depend on the truth, or you go depend on man's ways. It says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. In other words, if you believe us, then you'll receive the truth and you'll be blessed by it. But if you don't believe us and you think that we're crazy, or if we're outside of our own mind, all right. It still glorifies God because I'm preaching the truth to you, is what he's saying. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And, verse 15, he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. Hello? But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. How often do you think about your walk with Christ? How often do you think about your relationship with God? And this whole concept of the fear of the Lord is part of that thought process. How often are you aware of your reverence for his holiness? For his word? How often is the daily living as a Christian involving the fear of God? Right? Verse 11 says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. He's saying, we're preaching the gospel. We're trying to get as many people as we can to understand the truth and consider it and be persuaded to accept Jesus, because we know they're going to die just like us. And if they don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will not be saved. But we're compelled, because one day we're going to stand before God and he's going to say, did you tell these people? Did you tell those people? Did you share the love of God with these people? How come you didn't talk to them people? God has better grammar than that probably, but that's what it is. Do you ever think about it that way? Your witness, how people see Jesus in your life. How do people see that God is real and what you believe is something to be had in your life? Every day. Knowing that everybody's going to stand before the Lord. Now, we're saved by the blood of Christ. We have confidence in our eternal life, in our salvation. Every time I miss opportunities to witness to somebody, or I miss an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, I feel like every time I'm aware of it. Maybe there's a bunch of times that I'm not aware, and the Lord's going to just kind of get this big long scroll of paper. I was like, look at all these times you could have done something. And I'm going to be like, I didn't know I missed that many. You know? But we're going to stay. What if Jesus shows up now? We were talking about it in Sunday school, this Bible study this morning. There's no way to come up with the right answer, but we were discussing how many people are going to be attending and watching the Super Bowl this evening, versus how many people are in church this morning. You understand? If Jesus showed up and found us, what's he going to be finding us doing? How's he going to be finding us living? When Jesus shows up, are we going to be loving folks? Or are we going to be complacent? Or are we going to be hating folks? What is it? What compels you as a Christian person of faith? It can't be just the fear of God, right? Because that's not the way That's not the character of God. It's not just the fear of God. That is not the kind of Lord we have. In verse 16 and 17, look what he points out. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him as in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. All right. So we are different than we were before we got saved. You see, I'm not the same guy that I was. I'm not the same guy I was yesterday. I'm not the same guy I was last year. The Lord knows if I'm growing or not. I hope I'm growing. I hope I'm pleasing him. But what motivates all this whole relationship? Verse 14 says, for the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. That's what it means to be surrendered to him as Lord. The love of Jesus controls the believer. If we're people of faith, then that means we, by faith, believe that Jesus is the Christ, believe that his sacrifice was for all and his sacrifice was sufficient, and believe that he rose from the dead, which makes him the Christ. We put our faith in that. Why do people, like we talked about in Bible study, why do people fly all the way over here from Montana to hang drywall in somebody's house? I mean, there's nice people in the world, but come on, y'all. Think about it. These people flew. They had to go from Montana, drive to Spokane, get on the plane, go to somewhere South California. I can't remember the name of the city now. And then they go to Arkansas or something, New Mexico. Then they come here, I think. And they were telling me that, and I'm thinking, well, you just flew over probably thousands of people that need help with something to come here. Right? Why did they do that? Because the Lord put it on their heart to do. Because the love of Christ is in them. Right? That's why they did it. Why do they pay attention to the love of Christ? Why do they pay attention to the Spirit of God in their life? Because they know the Lord. They're surrendered to God. There's the fear of the Lord there. There's reverence for the Lord and his holiness and his word in their life. And they just love folks. They didn't complain while they were here. They actually did extra work while they were here. And they couldn't stop talking about y'all's cooking. It was great. Because God loves you. Are we compelled by the fear of the Lord and the love of God to go out and be Christians in this world? Are we about the work of the Lord? Are we about making disciples? Are we about the harvest until Jesus comes or until we leave? Is that who we are? Are we compelled to be people of faith because of the fear of God and the love of God? Second thing, there's only 2 points in a close, so praise the Lord for that too. Paul was convinced of the truth, y'all. Y'all know the journey of Paul. Y'all know what happened to Paul. You know how he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. In fact, he was so stubborn, the Lord had to knock him off his horse to get his attention. And then blinded him so that he would stop his life and spend some time with him so that he could repent. So that God could show him that he loves him. So that he could see the holiness of God and have the proper reverence. So all of this, what he's talking about, could be true in his life. And from that moment on, he surrendered everything he had in the world to go and be about the Lord's work. And I don't know how many times I preach stuff like this and people say, well, I'm not Paul and I'm not Jesus. So, no, but you're you. And Jesus died for you too. And if we keep on with that attitude, he'll knock us off our horse until we see him. People of faith, they're convinced about what they believe. They're convinced about it. Verse 18 says, now all these things are from God. who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All these things he's saying as a fact. Namely, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He just laid down the truth. Jesus wasn't a man that just died calling himself the Son of God. He was a man, as was finally pointed out during our communion meditation. He was the man who did die and was resurrected from the dead. So that you and I can be reconciled to a God whom we've offended, whom we've made ourselves enemies of. God has reached out his offer of peace to all who would receive it. And Paul was convinced of this truth. He was convinced of it, so convinced that he put himself through all kinds of stress and troubles and dangers to preach it to these people. Because he knew that God loved him, and he knew that God loved them. And it was worth the danger to preach this truth. You know what? You want to know what's been the best, maybe one of the best, if not the best, experiences I've had during this hurricane relief effort that we've been part of. Those moments when all these workers come from all over the country to this building to go out and do something for somebody they don't know. And then they go back home, probably never to see those people ever again. And I get to stand on their front porch and they say to me, why do you help? Why did you come here? And I get to say, because we know that God loves you. And because God loves you, we love you. You see? Because we're convinced of this truth, this gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of it. You're convinced. You wouldn't be saved if you weren't convinced that it's true. And if you're convinced that it's true, and it's all about the love of God in his holiness, it should compel us, shouldn't it? We should be compelled every day, in some way, form, or fashion, to impact the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of those who are lost. He's convinced of this ministry of reconciliation. We're not saving anybody. We're not helping anybody repent. All we're saying is there's peace to be had with Jesus and through Jesus. There's a way out. There it is. I wish you would take it. I took it. I needed it just as much as you. Let's go. Come on. Come with me. Verse 20. Look what it says in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He was convinced that God was making an appeal through him to the Corinthians and everybody else in the known world. Are you convinced of that? Are we convinced that God is making an appeal to the world through us? Think about it, y'all. How many of us are saying, God would never call me to do that? No, no. Because we're like hyper humble about who we are all the time. We don't want to lift ourselves up, and we don't want to put ourselves out front because it makes us feel like we're not being humble. When in reality, God is calling you and is using you and is showing himself through you to others. You are the ambassador. He is making an appeal through you. Notice he said, we beg you on behalf of Christ. That slapped me in the face while I'm looking at this message. When's the last time you begged somebody to hear the gospel, to consider the gospel? I'm talking about, when's the last time you pleaded with them? Please consider this to be true in your life. Please consider that. What if this is true? If Jesus comes back, what? Then what? I know you got places to be, and I know you got stuff to do, but just take a minute and consider that Jesus might really be the Christ, and that you might really need Him. It's challenging because if you're like me, the mindset is, well, they've heard about Jesus a bunch of times. They've heard the gospel already, and they've already made up their decision, so I'm going to go find somebody else that'll say, no. God says that you're the ambassador, and you are to go into the world, and you are to plead with people, make an appeal through Christ. Through Christ. There's a difference between Archie Gilmer telling you about Jesus and Jesus through Archie telling you about Jesus. You see. Big difference. Like night and day difference. When's the last time we begged someone on behalf of Christ? Their life is in danger, y'all. If they're lost, they are in grave danger. They're convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't live like that. You don't do that kind of ministry if you're not convinced of the gospel. In fact, if you're not convinced of the gospel, you're probably not even saved. I know people don't like the preacher to say that because if they're on the fence, or if they're not really saved and they're just playing spiritual games with God, they get offended. How can a preacher say I'm not saved? Isn't that judgmental? I'm telling you what the Bible says. The gospel of Jesus says that if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're not convinced of it, and you don't put your faith in it like it's true, then you're not saved. You got to be convinced, and then you'll be compelled. Right? That's people. That's who we are. We're people of faith, y'all. Check this out. This is it right here. This is the BI, the big idea. Anytime you see BI on any paper that I've written down, it means big. This is the big idea. This is what we want to hear. Verses 1 of 2 of chapter 6. And working together with him, we also urge you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Did you know that was possible? Do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Do we live our lives as believers, as ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we live our lives with that urgency? I'm not saying we're bad believers. I'm not saying we're bad Christians. I'm asking you to ask the Lord so that you can be what Jesus died for you to be, so that people might get saved. It's one thing to passively tell people about Jesus. It's one thing to say, oh, let's just say grace over our meal and let that be your witness. And that's the end of your witness. You know, asking the Lord to bless a bag of Cheetos ain't going to get nobody saved. You got to look people in the eye and say, look, Jesus died for me. And if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be saved and I'd be in a mess of trouble. And Jesus is coming back and we don't have all day here. And do not let them put it off if you can help it. Beg them to consider. Almost 99% of the time, if you have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody or have a conversation, they're going to be looking at their watch, they're going to be looking at their phones, they're going to be thinking about everything else they got to do, and they're going to say to you, well, I got to go, I got to do this. They're going to come up with some reason to get out of that conversation. And it may be some things they really got to do, but we got to get their attention and say, look, how often are you going to put heaven off? How often are you going to put salvation off? How often are you going to put off meeting the Lord? Because you put it off long enough, you won't be able to get it back. You see. That's why doing funerals is sometimes the best atmosphere for talking about the Lord with folks. Because they're in a situation for at least a few days or a couple of weeks where they can't avoid the obvious, that we're all going to die. We're all leaving this world. And they can't avoid God in that moment. I don't care how adamantly they proclaim their atheism. You can't ignore God when you see death. You can't do it. So where's the church? Right? Where's the church? I don't know if it still happens, but it used to be Super Bowl. There was always the John 3:16 sign guy there. I don't know if it's still there or not, but he's just out there, John 3:16. I don't really think that that's the best way to do it, but it's not wrong, right? It's bringing somebody's attention to the gospel, spending their energy doing something. That's a lot of people, y'all. I think it's 750,000 at the game that they're going to let in there. Let's just say a bunch of people. All right? Let's just say a bunch of people. They're in there watching. They're in there excited about a football game. They're in there excited about whoever they're hanging out with. They're up there looking up on the top looking for Taylor Swift up there. And then whoever's playing music at halftime. And they're jumping up and down. They come home hoarse and drunk, most of them. I mean, they're passionate about this event. Where's the church when it comes to our Savior, Jesus, and what he does every day? What Jesus does every day in the lives of a sinner is greater than every Super Bowl ever played. Greater than every sports event ever played. Every music concert is greater than every event on the planet put together. Just as was said in our communion meditation. We should have called each other. We could have tag teamed this thing, man. We could have tagged in and out like wrestlers. Y'all get where I'm at. Y'all get where you're at. The more we get engaged with the gospel, because it's who we are, the more excited we get about life on the in the world and life after eternal life. I'm walking around this morning giving y'all some beef jerky, whoopee. Big deal. But I hit that jerky and I'm just like, whoa, I get Jesus too? I get to have barbecue and Jesus? I get to have all these friends and Jesus? You know? It's all up here, isn't it? I love you, and the Lord loves you. And I hope that we don't lose our joy and lose our excitement just because life has been rough or tiring or hard or sad or traumatic. You name it. It's trying to steal your excitement for the gospel of Jesus. It's out there. But don't let the fire go out. Don't let no one else's fire go out either. When we see each other down in the ditch or in the darkness, come in there and say, yeah, but what about Jesus? I know you're hurting, but what about Jesus? I know your neighbor served tofu, but what about Jesus, right? I mean, it could be anything, y'all. If you're not saved, then I don't know, you're living in the dark. I don't see how you can be excited about anything on the planet if you ain't saved. Not really. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you all know it. This is how you tell it to people. You just tell them straight up. You know they're going to be mad anyway. You might as well just tell them. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you accept him as Lord and Savior. If you accept him as Lord and Savior, that means you're going to repent. You're going to stop being an enemy of God. You're going to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then they're going to argue about baptism. Okay, well, be prepared. Don't argue with them. Just talk to them. It's like, okay, well, this is what the Word of God says. This is what we do. Consider it. Don't reject it. Just consider it. I beg you to just consider the truth and let the Lord have them. And once they get to that point, then they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you watch how excited they get, which is going to make you excited, right? Right?